That's the fifth idea.
That was the intent.
My son has his championship baseball game tonight. Yes, sir.
Okay, in the absence of our village president, we will call the meeting to order, and I will ask for nominations for chair.
I would nominate Trustee Atwood. He's on his way here.
Oh, I'll second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes.
I don't know if it'll be 5 minutes or what.
Yeah.
That's our.
Can I make a secondary motion?
Yeah.
No, for Matthew Harris.
Yeah.
First, in the absence of Rob.
Okay. Second.
All right. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. I'll turn it over to Trustee Harris for a roll call and the Pledge of Allegiance.
All right. Welcome to the Village Alloway Village Board meeting for Tuesday, July 19th, 2022. Can we all rise for the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item number, roll call. Trustee Gimmich.
Here.
Trustee Atwood is on his way. Trustee Harris here. Trustee Green.
Here.
Trustee Sampson is excused. Trustee Rafter is excused. Trustee Deutsch.
Here.
All right. May I have a motion to modify or adopt this evening's agenda, please?
Moved. Adopt.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? We have an agenda. Announcements. Item number three. We've hired a new recreation supervisor, Emma Magadans. Hope I got that pronunciation correct. We'll just welcome her on board. I believe she started around the 5th of July, and hopefully she's settling in and be around for a long time, contributing for the residents. Item B, notice of fall partisan primary election on August 9th. Absentee ballot vote, in-person absentee voting will begin on Tuesday, July 26th, and continue on through Friday, August 5th at 5 p.m. There will be information on the village website in terms of the hours that the in-person voting is available. I believe you can start to get an absentee ballot at that time. All mail requests have to be received no later than August 4th by 5 p.m. or you can vote in person. And the polling locations will be open from 8 a.m. will be open from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. on August 9th. Miss anything?
Good.
All right. Any other announcements from staff, fellow board members? Item number four. Public comment. Is there anyone in the audience this evening who would like to speak on something that is not on this evening's agenda?
Good evening.
We have a visitor, Senator Coles.
Good evening. I'm probably being repetitive, but this is the time of the year where we're not in session. It's time for me to visit municipalities. This is one of my most important ones. Plus, I only live two blocks away.
Helpful.
I'm in touch with Mr. Lang all the time. So when you have some critical thing, Brad would contact me, I'm sure, but I try to come to your meetings and just let you know I'm here to try to help you fix problems. And Brad and I were just talking about helping you a little bit with inflow and infiltration. It's not the kind of topic that you might typically have at the coffee table. This is when your pipes are leaking and you've got to fix them. And it costs a lot of money. So that is not included in the 55% reduction in interest through the Clean Water Fund now, and I intend on changing that, introducing a bill to change that. So we've been working with on that issue this summer. So that's some little thing that could help you with some of your costs. There's a lot of things going on with the League of Municipalities, which you're a member, you're putting a lot of money into it. They're working hard to try to deal with a lot of different issues, and I'm fully engaged with them on many things. So it's a courtesy visit here tonight. I'd be happy, I guess during this comment period, you can't ask questions, right? It's just me commenting, or?
Correct.
Okay. So thank you for letting me talk.
We appreciate you visiting and that you're always open and available to help us out.
I'm trying. I'm not just some invisible person. And I just got to say, I'm happy that Mr. Palm is here representing the Fourth Estate with the local paper. You know, now that the Green Bay Press Gazette has just disintegrated as a local news source, we have to rely on the Press Times. Press Times, and he's an intern. I just met him, and good grief, we've got to have papers to cover local government, because occasionally we do something important, right, ladies and gentlemen? It'd be nice to let people know about it. Agreed. And the Press Gazette is not doing that, so that's very sad what's happened there. So thank you very much.
Thank
you. Have a
great
night. Be safe.
You're awesome. Is there anyone else who would like to speak to something that is not on this evening's agenda? Hearing no extra public comment, we'll move on to item number 5, action resolution 2022-17, notice of disallowance of claim number WM00005102012020, submitted related to Tina Metzler. Brad, can you fill us in on a couple of the details, please?
This is a claim that came forward from Ms. Metzler as she was utilizing the LeBron yard waste. Had an accident down at the site, hit one of our concrete barriers, and thus this is the formality that our insurance company is suggesting us to go.
Understood. Thank you. I think we've had a handful of these in the past. Any questions about it? Okay. Then may I get a motion on the resolution, please?
I would make a motion to disallow the claim number as stated in the minutes previous.
Thank you. Can I get a second? Trustee Green. Any discussion on the resolution? All right. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Item number 6, noise variance permit from Kaylee Trutman to allow music at 2910 Grand Rue for a wedding from 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. on August 6th. We have a noise variance permit application that was submitted and a note from Deputy Vogel explaining what would be happening that evening. I know it was submitted originally by the bride-to-be. We got a couple of additional contacts for that evening in case something's up where they do need to be contacted. Otherwise, Deputy Vogel, we're in good shape.
We don't like calling the bride on her wedding day. So we got a couple different mom and brother.
Perfect.
Notified, and they're working with Ascension Church even for parking just to the west of them.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right. Any other questions about the noise variance permit? May I get a motion on this item? Trustee Deutsch. And a second from Trustee Atwood. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Item number 7, request for Class A fermented malt beverage and liquor license for Condon Oil Company. Carrie, can you give us a couple of details on that one, please?
Yep. We received a request for a Class A malt beverage and liquor license for Condon Oil. They're also known as Midway Mobile. They currently have a malt beverage and cider license through the village, but they're looking now to sell liquor as well.
So this would be just a standard process if they already have the initial licenses, everything's in order, mm-hmm. so there shouldn't be anything stopping them from getting a expanded license.
Correct.
Okay. And may I get a motion on this item, please?
I'd move to approve.
Trustee Kenrick. And second. Second. Trustee Atwood. Any further discussion?
Any input from staff that we need to know, or is it standard as indicated?
Standard.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Any other discussion? All right. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Item number 8, consent agenda. As we normally do, we'll take items A through C as one, if that works for the rest of the trustees. May I get a motion on item A, please? Trustee Green. Trustee Green. And a second. Okay. Trustee Deutsch. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Item 9, discussion about the Green Bay Metro Transit budget increase. This is an item that was originally discussed in early June, and then Trustee Deutsch brought it up last meeting to have a little further discussion on this one. Trustee Deutsch, how do you want to?
Oh, Brad was just going to have some information.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
Yeah, so what I provided at your podium tonight, or at your seat, was the original February email that came from Green Bay Transit that was kind of talking about their study and their rationale with this change in funding mechanism. But I also wanted to kind of give you a little additional background. What I did is came across the 1991 transit agreement. There's not much in the file. This is the file. And then the addition of the December 31st, 2002, that kind of just talks a little bit more about this contribution that municipalities did to buy into the transit system. The village around that time allocated $96,468, and that is to help offset in the event there's a shortfall. That money has been sitting in the coffers of Green Bay Transit, as well as the others, for 20 plus years-ish. If we so choose to, because this is an option, if we were so choose to break ties with Green Bay Transit, we would lose that money. The Oneida Tribes left the transit a few years ago. But you can see what the City of Green Bay allocated almost $1 million, City of the Pier, roughly $100,000, Village of Ashwaubenon, $176,000, Alloway, $96,000, Bellevue, $4,340, and the Oneida Tribe of Indians was $138,340. I guess I kind of bring that up because that's something that is it a liability that's sitting out there or an asset that's sitting out there, but what Julie put together is that spreadsheet that kind of gives you an idea of what transit has charged the village since 2011. She does show in parentheses the amount of the refund that we would get each and every year. As the transit director indicated, it averages out about $25,000 a year. Why the up and down with the dollar figure? It was all based on how many miles that they were traveling within the village and route changes, etc. The bottom line, I gotta look at here because I can't see that part anymore. As you look at the net expenditures each and every year, it shows the property tax, which goes into, under the property tax, and that has gone from anywhere from $50,000, 2017 was only $6,000. Why, I don't know. I don't recall the rationale behind that, but anywhere from $101,000 down to that $6,000. And in 2022, we're budgeted at $69,000. We do have, when we get that refund back, it goes into a fund that supports the transit. So you can see from 2012, there was $58,000 in that fund, and it kind of fluctuates a little bit, and currently we're sitting at a $96,116 balance. So an increase in transit next year, per their proposal, you could take some of the balance out of here just to maintain a flat line in expenditures if they didn't increase. However, you know that's going to go away very soon. Do anticipate having some refund back in 2023, similar to each and every other year. Where does that fall? If it averages that $25,000, you would probably extend the life of the fund balance in there for, you know, 5 to 10 years, depending on what the increases were to go for. But just wanted to kind of share that with you. And then what I also wanted to do is I asked the transit director to provide me what each community has paid from 2011 through the 2021 budget year. And you can see how those numbers kind of fluctuate a little bit in percentage of what is charged to a community to equate the total balance. This number does reflect the refund that was given each year. So just trying to give you a little more background on it. The 91 agreement, the 2002, where it talked about the contribution that communities gave, had the option, if the village would so choose, not to continue offering transit system services. Green Bay Metro Transit Commission has a meeting tomorrow morning, which they'll be taking up the proposed plan of funding mechanism for other communities. Expected for them to vote on that. However, it still needs to go through the budget process. So it's adopting their plan, yes or no. Am I missing anything else that you may want to have known?
Okay, thank you. I wasn't able to attend the meeting with the presentation, but I sat in on, or I listened back to it, so I was able to get a little bit more background, and then I spoke with Patty earlier today to get a couple other things that I had questions on. But Trustee Deutsch, are you good for now?
I'm good for now. Okay.
So what I wanted, and this helped me understand things better a little bit, Brad. Mm-hmm. So if we pay in X amount of money, aside from 2008, each community has gotten something back. So that money that is returned back to municipality, we put it into the fund balance, correct?
Correct.
So we're recycling that money. So if we get an increase like they're looking at, we could use this balance and then see where we're at for 2024.
Correct.
If we go that route. Okay. I did ask Patty a couple of questions. She had told me about the February 1991 agreement. She didn't have it in front of her, but she had that because I wondered when it was agreed upon. One of the things I asked about was why we would split things equally between each municipality when you could possibly look at what residents are using it as opposed to others. Because with paratransit, we do have that ability to track, and they do keep track of that exactly. When you're booking your trip, whether it's over the phone or with the app, why don't you just say, I'm a resident of Valley, I'm a resident of De Pere. Patty informed me that the federal law, in quotes, because I'm not sure if that's the right wording, they are not allowed to require people to tell, they're not permitted to get that information from people. They're not permitted to require it, let's put it that way. So, because I was thinking that would be an easy way to track the information, know who's using it. If you're an Alloway resident and you're in De Pere and you're going to Green Bay, fine, still an Alloway resident. One of the things I did bring up to her and that she seemed interested in the possibility of is just having it as an option as you're completing the form. It's not a requirement, but you would say resident of this one, this one, this one, or other. We'd still have a better tracking system of who's using the system than we do right now and where they're located. And that may give us some other data. It may show that instead of the 6%, Alloway uses 12%. It may show that Alloway uses 3%. We don't know, but it's a different way of tracking, at least having some data instead of just peanut buttering it. The other concept I threw at her is why don't we split it by population throughout the six or five municipalities. And the answer I got back was not all the municipalities have full coverage areas, which I didn't completely understand, in that she said De Pere is not covered 100% by this service. I said, well, De Pere's all of De Pere, every resident of De Pere is paying for the service, so it didn't make complete sense to me, but I asked that question as a possibility. If you would assume that if one town has 20,000 residents, another town has 10,000 residents, you'd think that there's twice as much usage from the 20,000 than the 10. Again, we don't know. If there's a way to track it with an option, an optional entry by the user, that may give us some more. I think that was, refunded amount. So those are the things that I dug into to try to get a little bit more information about, instead of just you get a lump, you get a lump, you get a lump, is there a more accurate way we can figure out the appropriate way to charge? And like I said, Alloway could be higher than what we're projected to get for 2023. It could be lower. I do like that we're going to get, in general, money back. Patty reiterated to me how she uses up all the federal and state money before she goes to the municipalities, and that's what allows us to traditionally get a refund.
And the numbers for 2021, I'm assuming those are COVID-related, the dramatic drop?
That was my take on it as well, yes, because there just was minimal usage. This is a discussion item tonight, so we are not going to, nor are we able to take any action on it. But I don't know what our options are at this point.
I'm hoping to attend their meeting tomorrow. It's questionable whether or not I can make it, but certainly would reiterate what you said. If there's an opportunity to speak about alternative tracking methods, would mm-hmm. Yeah. Just so the entire commission hears it.
Like I said, Patty was wide open to that idea of making it optional. She said, you're always going to get, and she said, you can tell when you get fake names and other things like that. Is it going to be scientific data? No, but is it going to be more helpful than what we have today? Yes, which is nothing. Thank you. Anything else from my fellow trustees? Good? Okay.
Yeah, just keep us up to date on what they vote and what the plan is. I mean, obviously we can't do anything until they push it through, but keep us involved in the process, because I do have a lot of questions and red flags on it, but because the money won't be there forever. And
so we need to be good stewards of tax, our residents' money, and when we don't have a specific amount known of who's using it in our area, just because we have doctor's offices here in our area doesn't necessarily mean we carry that burden of that. So keep us in the loop.
Absolutely.
Brett, thank you again for gathering up that information. It was helpful to learn a little bit more about things that happened when...
None of us were here. Working.
All right. Item number 10. Again, another discussion item. Short-term rental regulations. Trevor, you're up.
As I indicated in the memo, staff has been receiving an influx of phone calls related to short-term rentals as of the past probably 6 months or so. And the phone calls come on both sides of the, the coin. There are potential owners calling to see if we have any regulations in the village specific to short-term rentals or any license programs. Those owners, sometimes they're in the area, sometimes they're from out of the area. And then we've had some calls, not many, calls related to neighbors to the short-term rentals and some issues. And we've had success in mitigating some of those neighbor issues, but I don't think that would always be the case. And so I had previously understood that there was nothing that we could do when it came to short-term rental regulations. And so I had our attorney look into what we're able to do. And I provided that report in the agenda packet. And essentially, we can't outright prohibit them, but we can regulate them to some degree. We can require a license or a registration process. Some municipalities in the area, such as, I think I provided, Holland and Ashwaubenon and the town of Scott all provide a license and inspection process. Not sure if we need to jump on the inspection process just yet, just because of staffing needs to come along with that. But I have thought about it might be nice to have a registration process. And if nothing else, then that way we have a local contact if something were to go wrong. So before I went too far into developing a policy around this, I first wanted to get the board's opinion on the matter and see where we go from here. Again, we haven't had many issues yet, but this would be a proactive approach if we did do anything.
Thank you, Trevor. Just for a little bit more background information, I'm the Alloway representative for the Room Tax Commission within Brown County. I wanted to give people a little bit more information about what that group has done and is doing for registering different properties. They started a few years ago working with a monitoring system that's nationwide that they will review Airbnb, VRBO, Expedia, HomeAway, other things like that, looking for properties that are looking to rent out their home, their apartment, their residence. And they established a process where there is an annual inspection by Brown County Health Department, because we want to make sure that you've got the proper entrances and egresses, smoke detectors, everything like that. And part of it also is when they're registered, the residence is then required to submit a 10% room tax, just like a hotel would, because they are acting as a hotel. The money from the room tax, whether it happens with the formal hotels or the money collected with the short-term residencies, goes to a couple different sources. It's in the process of paying off Resch Center, the Resch Expo, as well as the KI Convention Center. The bonds are being paid for partially by that. 80% of the money collected with the taxes goes to pay off those bonds. 20% goes to, almost 20% goes to the Convention and Visitors Bureau for the Greater Green Bay area. A small portion of the 20% goes back to each municipality. I think, I don't remember the exact number. I don't know if I have it in front of me. I think Alloway last year got about $6,000 back, but we only have one active location in terms of a formal entity. As a point of reference, Green Bay uses 20% on tourism. Door County takes 70% of their room tax for marketing. Most places are about 50%, but because we have the buildings that they've chosen to fund within this manner, we're at 20% and 80%. The other couple notes from a previous meeting, Green Bay's budget is about $2.2 million annually for tourism. Door County's is $4 million. It's that percentage swap out. I don't have my the room tax meeting is quarterly. I don't have my April notes. I have the notes from my January meeting. As of the end of 2021, there were more than 300 residences that had set up formal annual inspections with Brown County and were registered with the county, for lack of better words. If they do find residences that are doing advertising and renting out, they will notify them, hey, you need to do this. Second time, hey, guys, you really need to do this. And there were actually 40 residences in the process of the cease and desist step in the process. So those are the things that are in place right now with the county. And if we were decided to go this route, we would be part of that group. I believe there are some residences in Alloway that are already part of that over 300. And I'm betting there are plenty that, plenty may not be the accurate word, but there are some that are not complying, whether it's complete, unawareness of what would be required of them to make sure that they do have a safe place for visitors. So that's the background I can provide in terms of the room tax, and if these residencies are getting the benefit of the buildings in Brown County, the events happening in Brown County, that's why the Lodging Association is looking for them to pay their fair share in terms of the room tax. Any questions about that part of it? Okay. So what's everybody think about Trevor digging into this further and seeing what we can put together?
I'd be in favor of it.
Okay.
It would seem quite prudent based on what we already know and where we think it'll go, so yeah.
Okay. Just agree.
Having contacts would be good. I agree with that before we get ahead of it. I don't know that we need to regulate everything yet. Well, yeah.
There's a balance.
If there's no trouble, exactly. If there's no trouble, then... Because the Schwabadon has their own nightmare in Green Bay, especially near the stadium with the short-term runs.
Trustee Deutsch, your two cents?
I think it would be great to go do some research and propose us what you were thinking to, I think it's a great idea to have, I know there's, I can count on two hands, houses that are Airbnbs just in my neighborhood. So if we could benefit and have context, I'm not opposed to it. Go ahead.
One of the, I think one of the municipalities where we had the paperwork said there had to be somebody within a 35-mile radius, which I think is reasonable. If there's something going on, then somebody can get there within a reasonable period of time. They don't live in, you know, 1,000 miles away. We have gotten, I've been in touch with one resident who was uncomfortable with a couple of the with an Airbnb in their area. His comment to me was, you have a personal residence because there's no one there ever. It's owned by somebody who is, the main purpose for the property is to rent it out. And he said, in essence, what we have is a personal residence acting as a commercial business.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
a point. Most of the Airbnbs I know are like little apartments on houses or a room within a house. So there's a difference. Yeah.
If we do go down this route, I've started thinking about what we would have to do or have to at least consider. And the first thing that comes to mind in terms of once it's established is someone has to administer it. Someone's got to pay attention. Someone's got to follow up. Someone's got to check in on, okay, if we'd have an annual fee ourselves, has it been paid? Hasn't it been paid? How does it, for lack of better words, get policed? So we would need staff time for that. Is that something that would take 2 hours a week or 6 hours a week? May depend on the time of year. May depend on who knows what. Someone will have to chase property owners as they're notified. Okay, you were notified at the beginning of the month. It's now the end of the month. We're going to notify you again. What's our process for doing that? There'd be a lot to do to get something established. We'd have to create the ordinance, a form, enforcement, what time's involved, chasing down the property owners, policing it. Would we do our own annual inspections? Or maybe we coordinate with Brown County Health Department and do it at the same time.
Well, let's see what staff comes up with, and then we'll go from there and see if it's worth doing and if we have staff for it. Go from there.
Okay.
That sounds good. And we can always take a phased approach, too. Maybe we just start out with just more passive as we come across these properties, and then we utilize this process to say if we had a problem house or problem property, we could choose not to renew that license because they've violated these local ordinances, is what our attorney said we could do. So maybe that's step one, and then if we wanted to get more robust or dive into it a little deeper, we could. I agree with you. It would take additional staff time for sure.
Okay. All right. Anything else on this item? Okay. Item number 11. Any future agenda items for an upcoming meeting? All right. Then we will move to item 12. Item 12 will convene into a closed session pursuant to Wisconsin Statute 1985-1E, deliberating or negotiating the purchasing of public properties, the investing of public funds, or conducting other specified public business whenever competitive or bargaining reasons require a closed session. In particular, a developer's agreement. We would also be convening into closed session pursuant to Wisconsin Statute 1985-1C, considering employment, promotion, compensation, or performance evaluation data of any public employee over which the governmental body has jurisdiction or exercises responsibility. I get a motion on these two items, please.
Move to
convene in a closed session.
Thank you. May I have a second? Trustee Deutsch. Roll call on these items. Trustee Genrich.
Yes.
Trustee Atwood.
Yes.
Trustee Harris is a yes. Aye. Trustee Green.
Yes.
And Trustee Deutsch.
Yes.
It's unanimous. We are now in closed session. Back in open session, and there is nothing to vote on. So may I have a motion to adjourn, please? Trustee Green, seconded by Trustee Deutsch. A discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. We are adjourned. Thank you and good night.
I will confess that the last one, I intentionally was late.